Well, hey now, welcome back to Even More News. My name is Katie Stoll.
Wowee, I'm Cody Johnston.
That's better. We had to restart this recording because he was a low energy fella.
I thought it was
fella.
It was good. This is the highest energy I've ever been.
Yeah, we'll see if it's sustainable. Happy National Cookie Day to you and yours.
Oh, heck. Thank you.
This is truly the most special time of year, don't you think?
Yeah.
National Cookie Day. You know,
Cookies deserve a day.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. It feels like it's turned into such a commercial holiday, though. Like,
I mean, it's because it is.
Everywhere you go, there's like cookie music playing.
Yeah, I know.
Big
cookie, like, just like getting, getting in your face.
Yeah. Have you bought your cookie greeting cards?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what you're getting your cookies for cookies?
Yeah, I know.
Cookies being like the name that you give your dogs or something.
Or
you know?
Like sweeties. Like
your sweeties.
Get a treat for your sweetie. But like get a cookie for your cookie.
Yeah. It's like so obnoxious. But I do like cookies. Yeah. So many cookies.
I do too. It's just I'm tired of like you go to the grocery store and it's like cookie music is playing and you're like, I've heard this cookie song so many times.
Yeah.
I like you're tired of it already. And it was like literally like the day after Halloween, I think.
I know
heard
they
my
started
first
playing
song.
Me too. And it just makes me feel old,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Because like time's passing so quickly and it feels like a conspiracy to make us.
Right. And like, you shouldn't feel like annoyed that cookie day is coming. Like when
right.
you were a kid, you were like, oh, cookie day, it's finally cookie
I know.
Day. I get my cookie day gifts. I get my cookie day pants.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm always excited about giving cookies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I look forward to that, but
that's
there's
the
just
part.
So much pressure,
you
right?
To see people's faces when they see the cookie.
Yeah, and that and like we've lost that essence, I think. We get so
mm-hmm.
distracted by all the bells and the whistles and the like frosting and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and we don't remember the heart of it is just like eggs and butter and
exactly, wheat. Exactly. We don't appreciate eggs and butter enough.
Speaking of cookies, baking.
What?
And speaking of baking skills, special thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News, the show you're listening to right now.
What? Skillshare is offering Even More News listeners, that's you, 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents if you sign up at Skillshare.com/more news.
In case you drifted off there while he was talking, just go to Skillshare.com/more news to get 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. That's a good deal.
How dare you drift off?
Speaking of drifting off, let's talk about George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, he drifted off into the
ether. Yeah, if you guys missed that, George Bush Sr. surprised the world last week by passing away after everyone already thought he was dead.
Yeah, he really snuck up on you.
Really snuck up on us. I hope that you laughed at that. I thought that was funny. But there's a serious questions that have been going on around this. It's kind of inflamed the...
it's the same thing.
It's
all
the same thing whenever somebody
dies
and then the internet erupts and you're like, I don't even want to go on there.
Right.
And there's this debate and I think that you and I fall on slightly opposite ends of the spectrum of
this. I agree with you completely that
we fall on different ends of the spectrum.
On this, yeah.
About how do you talk about people that have died? You know, these important political figures, these media figures. And for me, it's like, yeah, I know somebody's bad. I still don't feel compelled to start making a bunch of terrible jokes about them, bashing them the day they die.
Sure.
You know, I do think that that's tacky. I think a lot of times when we're talking about it, you lose sight of the other end of the spectrum, like the other sides of the person.
Sure.
We start to paint them in one stroke. And I don't think that either way, like either just saying, oh, he was great or oh, he was bad, is fair. And I understand why George Bush Sr. and Jr. are bad, have been terrible, and the consequences of their actions. I do. But I have an interesting question I want to throw out to you and to you guys listening.
No.
It's interesting,
okay.
though. I would posit that there has never been, nor will there ever be, a completely good president. I think the nature of the job is such where you're going to have to make decisions that are hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, people will get hurt by them. And so when we're looking at someone's life and we're just talking about all of the bad things and like not taking that into consideration, makes me wonder, like, are presidents inherently bad people? Like, do you, sure. because anybody who wants to be a president
is a crazy person,
is a little bit crazy. Yeah. So like, when we're talking about them, are we talking about them in such a way where we're like acknowledging the complexity, or do we inherently think that there's something wrong and untrustworthy about them as people? Right. And so all of this stuff gets brought up for me when we're looking at these conversations online, and we lose all nuance. Sure. And I think that it is at a disservice to actually getting somewhere in the conversation about what these people's lives mean.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I hear you.
It makes sense. Well, end of show.
Because also, like, is it kind of like saying, like, yeah, all presidents are bad and kind of crazy and they've got to do X and Y? In a way, that sort of seems to be just sort of like morally passing the buck and being like, well, they're the president, so they have to make these decisions for us, and they're going to be bad decisions, and people are going to die because of them. So like, then they're so like they do them.
Sure.
And we sort of like let them, as opposed to, like, I would say, I think that there are many decisions that you can make a decision and it won't go well, or like, you know, people can get hurt because of it, but I think there's like certain intentions behind it, or certain like even like something simple, simple, but like drone strikes, like, you know,
yeah,
that when you do that, you're going to be killing civilians. Like, we just know that at this point, like, that's what goes along with it. So even that's not saying like, oh, he made like a call to do this and then, oh no, people died. It was, he did that knowing that people would die. Yeah.
I agree with you completely about that, but I am going to play devil's advocate and say, like, we don't know how many lives were potentially saved by that. We don't know. I mean, we really don't know.
Sure.
But I agree. I understand that that's...
We also think...
I mean, like, that's literally why I wouldn't want to be a president. Right. You know? Like, I don't want to have to make those decisions.
Also, like, there are decisions that I think are much harder to make because they could potentially lead to, like, harm, but in the short term. So, like, even, like, when in dealing with, like, terrorism, a president these days, they're all in on the war on terror and, like, we got to do this, we got to fight X and Y. But like one of the main ways to do that is to stop like invading other countries and stop like,
you know,
get rid of all like of our military presence in all these places, and that sort of like we're the aggressors in a lot of these places, even though there are, you know, there are situations where other nations aren't doing great things, but like we create more, like, if you look just from like. From the start of the war on terror to now, the number of terrorism has increased over that amount of time. So like, clearly it's not working. And so you, like, there's a policy of peace and non-aggression that in the long term would, I think,
reduce
that amount and like, and make things better in the long run in a lot of different places, for a lot of different reasons. But short-sightedly, you'd be like, well, he did that, and then, you know, it was bad in this area, or, like, people died here. So, like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. It seems like...
I understand. I mean, it's a little bit idealistic, but I'm not saying that that's bad. I think that that's what we should work towards. I think that that's, you know...
Well, I mean, it's like... There's a.
I mean, even President Bartlett had to make bad decisions.
I barely get that reference.
Yeah.
I think that there's an idealism that is like, it's only idealistic in that presidents don't try it. Like, we haven't, like, there's so many things that I think we talk about on the show, even over like, why don't we try this? Why don't we do this? What about, like, what if he did this? And it's all these things seem idealistic, even like when we're talking about like AOC's like Green New Deal and like all the drastic things we need to do for climate change.
I don't think that seems idealistic.
But it's stuff like that where it's like, why would you even try? Or like it seems idealistic in the public eye because we don't try it and we don't do it and no one has done it before. And so it seems like like that wouldn't even work. Well, how do you know?
Yeah. Well, bringing it back around to George Bush. Again,
fuck him.
Well, sure, in some ways. And I'm not saying that we're not supposed to speak the truth about a person. I'm saying that I wish there was more nuance to it. I also just don't think the day someone dies, is a time for mocking them in a way. I'm not even saying like that's not even a good time to start talking about the truth
so
of the person.
So you're not, you're really talking about like.
I really hate cheap, dumb jokes that demean a person's life, that mock people's pain, and mock somebody's life that was valuable. And like, right. There are good things that happen. Yes, the bad stuff.
So
I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like, take a beat. Like, I mean, I could start making George Bush jokes soon. I just did, you know, starting this up. But like, the day someone dies, and like, and I know that we don't care that much about what the other side thinks. You know, fuck them.
Yeah.
But George Bush and the Bush family are a beloved fixture of the Republican Party, and it, and being very disrespectful, like we would be really outraged to see trash about Obama, which we will when Obama dies.
Yeah.
And on the day of, you know, I would feel deeply offended by it. And I think that if we are trying eventually to understand people, I think we should. I think that there's just basic kindness, actually. It's even beyond understanding. I just think it's respect and kindness. And then there's more weight to the actual criticisms because you're not being stupid.
I hear you. I get it. I mean, I think people, I don't know, there's different crowds and different people who deal with stuff different ways, different types of humor. Like, you just mean, like, mean jokes, like, really mean jokes, I think, as opposed to being like, he did this and this and this and this.
Or yeah.
Like, let's say, like, he dies and I'm like, George Bush died. No comment, except he did X and Y, and, like, these are bad things that he should be remembered
for. I think that's
for.
An acceptable thing.
Because, like, I think a lot of it is – well, part of it, I think, is that the – because the media will often totally not mention that stuff. And they'll be like, oh, he was a nice guy, and he did this, and people loved him, and X and Y, as opposed to the nuance that I think it's more important to have nuance on the other side, when you, especially with a world leader who of like at you know the time.
What do you mean on the other side? Like on us, on our side than theirs?
No, so I think especially like when a world leader dies, especially when they're like the most powerful person on the planet when they were in office, arguably. But like I think that I don't know. I just think when you're at that point and you have that amount of power over people, like how people are and like the material effects of their lives, all bets are off and like you, it's fair game. When literally they're the cause of death. And in some cases on purpose. And so like, I get that like their, you know, their family might be reading it, but like,
I know your opinion is like, they signed up for this.
They signed up for it.
You know, you're a public figure.
You're the leader of the free world.
And I do get that.
But so like, you know, so like people have different tastes and jokes and stuff. And I understand that some might be offensive. It doesn't personally bother me. I don't really have an opinion that's don't do it or do it either way.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like the nuance of like their legacy, I think that it's more important for people who are praising leaders like that to mention the bad stuff right away. Instead of whitewashing their legacy.
I agree.
And ideally, they do it when they're alive.
I think we're saying the same thing, except that you don't care if people make tasteless jokes.
I don't super care. No.
And I specifically do.
Yeah.
But I also understand, and I'm not going to like judge you, really. You know, I'm joking. I'm not going to judge people. But like, to me, that always sits really poorly. And
yeah. I understand, and like, and there's a taste in class, and like, you know, if it seems tasteless, then that's a, yeah.
And just, I can't name him off the top of my head, but he's not all bad, you know, in terms, I mean, he's good for the environment.
Sure.
Yeah,
I guess, I don't know, like.
And I might not even mean that, like, maybe I want you to cut that I said he's not all bad. Because I don't want everybody getting angry at me. I understand, of course I understand why people hate him.
Well, and the thing, I think it's because obviously it'd be better if they did this when he was alive.
But then you're like, so oh, he's just an old man.
So it's not a surprise when he's dead that it happens. And I mean, it's going to be way worse for George W. Bush.
Oh,
even though he's gotten a lot of rehab in the past few years because of contrast. But I think that, you know, and yeah, it's going to happen with Obama. It's going to happen with Bill Clinton. I don't think it should matter necessarily because they were in charge of like all of it.
Yeah.
And they caused, they, you know, did some good things. They caused some problems. They caused a lot of death. And I guess, like, when Henry Kissinger dies, are people going to be, like, clutching their pearls about it?
No, I just won't make fun of him on the day he dies.
Sure.
But he's a bad person. Like, he's done bad things. Yeah. I know. And I think that that's a good time. I do think it's a good time to talk about everything. I just think that there is needs to be... I do think that we need to have a balance in the way that we talk about it.
I get that. And I think it's also like a reaction. It's like a it's a response to the over saturation of like of hyper civility. So like when George W. Bush died, or when George H.W. Bush dies, and there are all these like fawning things, like he did this and he did this and he was so nice and he loved his dog and all this kind
of
stuff.
And he had a sense of humor.
Right. I think people are like, wait, what? He also did this and this and this and he, like, and fuck him. So they're going to make nasty jokes about him to like
point
that out. So I think, yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit of both. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
He's dead. So
he's dead. He's dead. Doesn't matter.
Finally.
Wow.
Finally, we're at the end of that segment.
Oh, I thought you meant finally he's dead.
Maybe I did. Maybe there's some double play there. Speaking of old white men who were once in power.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Transitioned to Joe Biden.
Oh, good.
Declaring himself the most qualified person in the country to run for president, which is what we said about Hillary Clinton a few years ago.
I believe that is what we said about Hillary Clinton a few years ago.
My
it
question
was a few years ago. Wow.
To you, Joe Biden, it was a few years ago. Yeah. Wow. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares if you're the most qualified person? I think that by your hierarchy of most qualified, your list would also make Al Gore pretty qualified.
Yeah, I would say Al Gore is probably more qualified.
And maybe more qualified, because if Al Gore was to say, I'm going to run and I have a really bold plan for climate change, I might be on board, you know?
Yeah. Depending on what he says.
And if he wasn't just so dang boring when he said it.
I don't mind. I don't mind the boringness. I think as long as he means the things he says and is like, yeah, climate change and also healthcare. End of platform.
I know. I was making a joke. I was keeping the energy up.
Oh, man. My energy is so but like the Joe Biden thing is so funny because like, do you think that saying that you're qualified is what people respond to these days?
Right. Obviously that didn't work.
And also the touching of the girls on camera.
No one addresses that.
No one addresses it. It's really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Well, we've shared some supercuts of that before.
Yeah.
It's been in stuff. We'll tweet it or something.
Like, aside from that kind of stuff, like, Joe Biden's the kind of guy, you know, like, okay, so let's say you're going to run for president, and then let's say you are fine in the primary, and let's say you actually win the primary. As soon as you do, a bunch of people are going to come out and talk about, like, your harassment.
Yeah,
like,
it's so...
Like, he's primed to be Me Too'd.
He's just like, sitting there.
And
he's got his problematic Anita Hill past, you know?
And not to be like, oh, we have to worry about everybody getting Me Too'd.
Well...
But, like, also, like, I mean, watch the video of him touching young women. And I don't know, when he was talking about... They were talking about, like, drugs in school, and he wanted to do mandatory drug tests and stuff. For students at school.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
I mean, that was a long, long time ago. His rationale was very silly to me. It was like, if you do mandatory random drug tests in schools, then that gives students an excuse to say no if they're offered drugs. So, like, they're offered drugs, and then the student's like, oh, no, we have random drug tests at our school, so I can't do the drugs.
Man, you're operating under the assumption that nobody wants to do drugs.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard, Joe, but drugs get you high.
I don't do drugs because someone's making me do drugs.
No.
I didn't when I was a kid either.
Yeah, well.
Well, peer pressure, sure, but like I succumbed to that because I wanted to.
Sure.
Like,
I mean, drugs sell themselves. They're to get you high.
Yeah, they are to get you high.
Don't run for president,
Joe. Don't run for president, Joe. Just don't. just be a grandpa. Like, we thought you were cute with Obama. Cute little pals.
Yeah, you did your, like, little stuff.
You and did I'm sure you did stuff as vice president. I'm sure that you did. But, you know, that was good. That was good. Let that be the end of it. Don't drag your name down.
Yep.
Further.
Further. And don't, like, I just don't want, I mean, I do want the primaries to be, like, 20 different people with all their ideas and then, like, hashing it out. But I also don't, because that's going to be a real pain. It's going to be a real frustrating time for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
And
we were angry at each other. Cody and I's friendship suffered during the primaries last year.
Primaries weren't so fun. And that was only two people.
Yeah.
Technically, what, four or five? But who remembers?
But, yeah.
Jim Webb.
Who?
Jimothy Webb.
Oh, Jimothy.
Yeah. But so, like, you want a lot of their ideas, but then, like, you know, every single attack that they do on each other, the bad guy.
I know. They're just gonna, like, lapping them up. They're like, excellent. Yeah, I'm storing this.
Yeah. Give me more. Give me more. Like, as soon as someone, like, shares a video of Joe Biden touching girls, he's going to be like, Joe Biden is handsy with women. And then someone's going to be like, but, sir, what about all your history of that, Mr. President, sir? Good sir. And then he's going to be like, what are you talking about? No more questions, and walk away. And everyone's going to be fine with it.
Are they, though?
I mean, they're not going to, like...
That'll be the end of that.
No, right. That scene would be over.
Yeah.
He would say no more questions. And maybe he would take another question after that, which he's done before. He's been like, all right, thanks, everybody. And then he took another question. But it won't matter. He's just going to do what he's going to do.
Real quick, let's talk about this Barry Weiss, Eve Pacer.
I think.
Okay. Have you seen this article that they wrote together?
Are you talking to me or are you talking to the listeners?
I'm talking to you, Cody.
I'm one of the listeners. I'm listening.
You're listening to me.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Let's talk about this unlikely friendship between Eve and Barry. If you guys aren't familiar, Eve is a super pretty liberal.
She's like pretty, yeah.
Writer for Vice Politics. And Barry is a pretty divisive neoliberal Zionist, and she's received a lot of flack for her opinions.
She's a big proponent of the intellectual dark web.
Yeah, intellectual dark webber, you know, questioner of Me Too, etc. And so they met in real life and surprisingly became friends despite it all. You know, they don't talk about politics. They talk about boys, stuff like that. And they wrote about their unlikely friendship in this opinion piece for the New York Times. And there's been a lot of backlash to it. And I do get the backlash. I do understand that it's a weird piece. It's weird. And I've seen a lot of people voicing concerns. It's like, yeah, these two privileged white women can set aside their differences and be friends, but there's nothing at stake for them necessarily in their life. You know, her rhetoric doesn't actually affect Eve on a personal level.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, you know, like similar to how we were talking about George Bush, like you're just glossing over all of the bad stuff.
Right. And like, it's nice that you can be friends, but at the same time, like, I think it's also a little different with like, than like high school friends or like personal friends. Like, you're both in the media and you both have platforms that you use to sort of push forward what you think. So, like, if you really disagree that much on that kind of stuff, then you really think that what they're saying and doing is harmful. Right.
Right. And so don't you dislike them inherently?
Or, like, at least, like, don't you challenge that stuff outright
right.
all the time? Like, even in the article, they didn't really talk about politics.
I know.
Barry talked about how she's like, she's got tattoos and I don't trust people with tattoos.
And like, they don't talk about politics, and that's what they say about their friendship, but a little bit, I mean, and it's not, to me, I get the impression that there has to be some sort of acquiescing, and it feels more like Eve acquiesces to like what Barry's saying.
That's what most of this, like the conversations we have been having for the past years, I think, come down to a lot in terms of like censorship and like, reaching across the aisle, the right will often sort of I think like liberals and like the left sort of has these ideas of like civilities and rules in the process and reaching across the aisle and compromise and all these things that they like pride themselves on. The right often only cares about winning and will sort of use the things that people care about in order to win against them and sort of force people to like, well, you're going to reach across the aisle to me and you're going to come to what I'm
right,
saying and you're going to compromise with me and I'm not going
to. We have
to
set aside our things.
Yeah, there's a great
to find a compromise because inherently we think of them as, I mean, we think of the things they do as evil.
Sure.
As bad, whereas they think of us as stupid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, or like stupid or wrong. I mean, I think.
I mean, that's a real generalization.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if I'd necessarily use the word evil.
Not evil, but you know. But I mean, like, people don't like Barry because they like think that the things that she believes are inherently immoral.
Right. And yeah, bad for people. But then, yeah, if you're palling around and you're just like, yeah, we don't talk about politics and stuff. But you both have voices and platforms. So like if I were, let's say,
responsibility to talk.
Yeah, let's
about
say
politics.
For the sake of argument, I become really good friends with Steven Crowder. really enjoyed that. And we are friends and we meet and we're like, wow, we actually get along. This is cool. Let's go hang out. And we hang out and
you're going to talk politics.
I probably, yeah. But like if we didn't, that's a huge disappointment in me because he has a platform that he talks about this stuff all the time. And if I really if I believe the things that I believe about what he says, which is that often he lies and is wrong about stuff and is harmful to a lot of different people. And I don't talk about that, then I've failed and I'm full of shit. Like, I'm not going to be friends with him and just be like, yeah, we just don't talk about politics. No, I'm going to every day be like, Steven, you're wrong and you're being harmful to these people. So, you need to change your mind.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I would be pushing in that way. I mean, I also wouldn't be friends with him because I don't think we would be able to
be friends. Well, we don't know the extent to what their conversations are or are not like.
True. The interview wasn't necessarily
the interview wasn't about that. The interview was kind of about something else, which we haven't gotten to yet. Mm-hmm. And it kind of does frustrate me a little bit in the way I've been seeing this talked about online.
Yeah.
I don't think that this piece was inherently bad. There are some nuggets in it that stood out to me, especially from Eve's perspective about having been this liberal, loud person online mm-hmm. and getting a lot of followers over the past year. And you kind of, especially in reaction to everything that's going on, it's almost like who's got the angriest, cleverest tweet that gets the
right,
most
or like
likes.
Who's got the worst opinion that I can point out?
Yeah,
is bad.
And we get caught up in this loop online, and it is more polarizing. And then at some point, she starts realizing that you're losing yourself.
Yeah,
and you don't quite recognize who you are up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she says that specifically, but this is and then she's acknowledging, like, I know that if I even was to try to acknowledge this online or like, I know that this is going to be a huge backlash to me doing this piece. And I actually genuinely, like, there's stuff that I like about this person and we're friends. And I there's an element of like, I'm not sure what to do. You know, like, you're going to attack me for this. And maybe she deserves to be, like, the points that we've just brought up. But it is really frustrating that right now it's so polarized that the idea of even trying to be friends with our enemies, quote unquote, just goes immediately out the window. Mm-hmm. Or the idea of trying to get to know each other and trying to, like, you know, work, bridge the divide. So, like, even if you disagree, maybe you have some actual influence. Maybe you can change someone's
sure.
a piece of their mind. Like, why that is no longer acceptable. And that part of the piece, I don't see being discussed. I just see the bashing of this friendship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you're kind of illustrating the point
right.
that they're making here in how you're not reacting to all of it. You're not, and I guess, so this goes along with, I guess, our conversation about George Bush that I've been feeling online lately. And it doesn't make me mean that I'm being pulled less progressive.
Yeah, no, you don't like what it's turning you into.
And like, I have people in my life that I can't talk to.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that I could.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like how nasty I can be online. In my tweets, it's frustrating because oftentimes it's because somebody is lying or like right. being harmful in what they do and say. But I do feel that of like, I wish I was less like that. Yeah. I'd like to tone it down and sort of be a little more reasonable, or not even more reasonable, but like a little less aggressive in the dunking. Because I think that that can be effective, but I think other ways are also effective. It's just one of those things where like with even Barry, like Barry's not going to change her mind about anything.
Right.
And the sort of reaching across and being like, we can be friends. We can talk about this. And like, there's some things I like about them and so on. That almost always leads to the person on the right not changing their mind. Mm-hmm. And even with things like there's a Chris Reagan Twitter fellow and Lacey Green. And she was like, you know, a sex positive feminist. And he's sort of like an anti-feminist kind of skeptic anti-SJW type, and they've been dating, and like she's clearly like changed some of her opinions, and he hasn't really like moved a lot, and mm-hmm. just in general I see that a lot. There's a very good a series called The Alt-Right Playbook that you can see on YouTube by Innuendo Studios. It sort of delves into that aspect of it. So yeah, I agree with you completely about it sort of being like a dunking game and getting people getting more vicious, and that not necessarily being the best method all the time. It's easy to lose yourself in that anger and the desire for validation online, but a better way to get validation online is to improve yourself. Online, maybe via Skillshare, an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, design, technology, and more.
Even more skills, huh? That's the joke you mm-hmm. made me.
It's for you.
Instead of just dunking on liars and dum-dums all day, skills like creative writing or mobile photography or doing your freaking finances or social media marketing, which hopefully has better lessons than just dunk on liars and dum-dums all day while making yourself mad.
Or, if you have to, use your new skills to do the dunking. I've been taking some animation classes, and we'll be implementing them next year in episodes about, you guessed it, some various liars and dum-dums. And all I had to do was go to Skillshare.com/more news, and I got 2 months of Skillshare for 99 cents.
99 cents being the amount it costs for 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes at Skillshare.com/more news?
Yes, yeah, Skillshare.com/more news, correct.
Wowee.
Wowie.
Wait, guys, real quick. We love that you're using Skillshare. Please let us know about your Skillshare experiences because I'm dying to know what classes you're taking. Okay, bye. Welcome back to Even More News for Even More News.
That's us.
That's us. That's what we do, Sears.
Wow.
Let's talk about Wisconsin.
The state.
You might have missed this story yesterday in the midst of all the various yelling. Mm-hmm. I almost did. But you guys, shit's going down in Wisconsin. Protests are going down. Mm-hmm. Seizures of power going yeah. down.
Coups.
A coup, you might call it. I think the hashtag is literally hashtag Wisconsin power grab. So if you want to check that out instead of us telling you what happened.
Sure.
Let's do that. That's easiest.
Yeah, go check out that hashtag.
No.
There'll be like a day's worth more of information from the time we recorded this.
Well, we'll see.
Kind of like a few hours.
A few hours worth. Okay, so last month, Wisconsin ousted Republican Governor Scott Walker and voted in Democrat Tony Evers.
Congratulations.
Yeah, amazing.
Get out of here, Scott.
Get the heck out of here. Not quite, though. And they've got a new Attorney General, Josh Call, who's also a Democrat. And now Wisconsin's heavily gerrymandered Republican legislature is planning to push through lame duck legislation to limit the power of these new officials, which is crazy, blatant, obvious,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Quick note on that gerrymandering. Democrats got 190,000 more votes than Republicans, and Republicans got 63 out of 99 seats.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah. That's insane. That's such a discrepancy.
Absolutely unbearably like, bad.
That's just such not democracy.
No. And so this new legislation that was just introduced and is actually being voted on today, so it'll likely be passed by the time we're done recording this.
I'm not going to look it up.
This new legislation
I don't wanna find out
would,
how it goes.
Quote, prevent Mr. Evers from fulfilling a campaign promise to take Wisconsin out of a multi-state lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. It will also diminish the governor's control over the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which is a scandal-ridden public-private agency created by Mr. Walker to foster job creation by giving the legislature an equal number of appointees to the board as the governor and revoking the governor's power to appoint the board's executive chief. Real quick, the state's audit bureau before now had revealed that Walker's Economic Development Corporation has mismanaged millions of dollars in loans and gave a Taiwanese electronics manufacturing contractor like $4.5 billion in subsidies of the taxpayers.
Foxconn, right?
And the other legislation going through is going to weaken the Attorney General's power by eliminating the Solicitor General's office in the state's Department of Justice, which takes away the Attorney General's power to determine how to spend settlement winnings, give that to the legislature, that power. And it also gives the legislature the power to act as its own attorney general by giving them the ability to hire special counsel.
This is so many things.
So many things. A bunch of stuff. And so the Capitol was flooded with protesters because obviously the voters overwhelmingly voted in Democratic leaders. All statewide offices went Democrat.
Yeah.
And this is blatant, and other states are doing it too.
Probably important to note that this is one of the key states in the 2016 election.
Yeah, important to note that. Yeah, do you remember what the other states? Is it North Carolina and Michigan, I believe?
Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, I think.
Okay, so I was wrong. And they're getting away with it.
yeah.
They're getting away with it.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
I mean, people seem to be more aware of it. People, they're protesting because of it. And that's something.
That is something.
People don't often pay attention to this kind of like more local or like state events. I mean, this is something we've seen early. We saw, I think, was it last year? There's a similar like coup attempt in, was it Virginia or West Virginia? Am I making it up? Go look it up. So I don't have to.
You want me to look it up?
No, I'm just telling the listeners to look it up. But I think that's good. We'll see. We'll see.
It's alarming.
I'm not conflicted by this. I think it's important to note. This is clearly just a power grab and out of spite and they're sore losers and they're like, well, no, then we're going to do this. There are things.
Yeah, but it's going to impede a lot of progress.
Yes, no, absolutely.
And it's going to make it difficult to make important changes that we need to make in the next couple of years.
Yes, but to speak to let's say the country. So the president's power, I think, should be impeded more. I think we need to scale back what the president's allowed to do. I don't think one person should have as much power as the president has. And that role has been expanded quite a bit over many, many, many years. I'm also we should be doing that. We should be...
taking away...
The president's power, not because it's Trump, but because of the president's role.
So in theory, you want to take more power away from the governor?
No. That's why I didn't even want to say this. Because they're not really the same thing and they're not related.
No, I was just trying to bring it back.
It makes it hard to be like... I want to do that. I think we should do that for the president, but then it seems like it's out of spite, and it seems like it's trying to
That feels like a very different argument.
It is different.
For different reasons.
It seemed related, but
point taken.
They're definitely not the same thing. So I apologize for even bringing it up. I apologize completely.
I accept your apologizing completely. Your apologizetics.
Mm-hmm.
Apologetics. And before we leave, let's buckle
leaving
up
more
for,
news.
For leaving more news. Let's buckle up for one more big story you may have missed. This time it's about Jeffrey Epstein.
Gross.
I know. Super gross. Let's give a little backstory. Catch us all up on Jeff Epp. I guess as far back as 2001, but I'm surprised that it's that recent and not further back.
It's been going on
for a long time.
But investigations in the...
Epstein had been found to have lured a steady stream of underage girls, I think 80 girls, to his Palm Beach mansion.
Yeah, he got I forget the girl's name, but she would go to the mall and sort of groom mall goers and bring them back to
this... those girls would recruit more girls.
Yeah, so a pyramid scheme of underage, massagers, I believe is what he said.
Yeah, but, had them engage in massages, masturbation, oral sex, sex. And anyway, the girls grew up, bunch of them filed civil lawsuits. 2007, the FBI compiled like a 53-page indictment, and all the contents of that should have been enough to put this guy away for life. But the Miami Attorney General at the time, Alex Acosta,
who's, he's not going to come up again, right?
Unfortunately, he is. He's now Trump's Secretary of Labor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he gave him like a non-prosecution agreement, and you know, all of this is a little murky to me because I'm not a law gal. But basically, the details of the indictment, including all the powerful men that would be implicated in it, like Bill Clinton.
Right. So yeah. So Jeff Epstein is a billionaire who would use these girls
with powerful men.
Yeah, to like pimp out to other rich and powerful men, including President Bill Clinton. There are other people who have been on his plane. You can see the flight logs on, I think, like Gawker published them a few years ago. And like Donald Trump is in his little black book. I believe it has 2 pages dedicated to him, things like that.
So basically that indictment never saw the light of day because of Alex's non-prosecution agreement. Mm-hmm. And
Secretary of Labor.
Alex Acosta. And so Jeff pled guilty to like lesser charges, I guess, of prostitution. And was given 12 or 13 months in like a private prison where he got to leave for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week to do work.
Like prison.
You know, like you do in prison. And what was stunning about it is the girls weren't allowed at that sentencing. And I believe they didn't even know about it at first, what had happened, or the arrangement of his deal. You know, they found out about it later. Anyway, that's the backstory. That's a brief backstory. There's lots there. It's disgusting.
Yeah, there's a fun fact, I think, I want to mention. So I looked into this a lot, I think, last year, talking about, like, Donald Trump and his relationship and the Clintons and stuff. There's a video you can find online of a deposition of Jeff Epstein, because these women, you know, they have to give, like, details of these events and what he did. And in it, like, some of their depositions to prove, you know, you have to prove, like, well, how can we even believe that you have, you know, had sex with this guy or whatever? And so they described his egg-shaped penis. And so there's a deposition video of Jeff Epstein.
Jeg.
And he's asked about that. And he's like, is your penis egg-shaped? And he gets very upset. And, you know, in some cases, you have to actually, like, show them. Be like, well, no, I don't. Okay, we'll prove that you don't. And things like that. And he just sort of gets up and walks away.
That's a fun story.
I just think it's a fun story that now everybody listening has to know that about Jeff
Epstein.
That
is now the full backstory. Mm-hmm. Now you're really caught up
through it all
with his egg dick. But so now, 2018, a couple of the girls are suing the federal government to overturn Epstein's plea agreement on the grounds that it was executed in violation of the Federal Crime Victims' Rights Act. And one of the things was how these girls are finally going to get to have their chance in court and to actually share what happened to them. However, today, they'll still get their time in court. But today, a last-minute settlement was reached, and the girls did not get to testify. Apparently, there's two things going on. Their lawyer has been suing on behalf of the girls because Epstein claimed that the aforementioned civil suits were part of a Ponzi scheme run by a former law partner and contained false allegations that were meant to defame his reputation.
How do you know about your egg-shaped dick,
How do they know about your egg-shaped dick, Jeff? Diff. So I guess that this hearing was about that. But the girls were supposed to be allowed to were supposed to be allowed to speak today. And then at the last minute, they reach this settlement, which is disappointing, because what we really want is to give them that justice, the ability to talk, to share their stories. But their lawyer swears that they'll still get the chance, that he's still pursuing the civil actions. So that's good. I was alarmed. So as we were prepping this, I was at first like, what the fuck?
Right, we knew that it was today.
Because we knew it was today, so I was watching it. So if you guys got confused by that cavalcade of information, because there was like different stories that contained information.
It's complicated. There's a lot going on. And it just popped up again.
It's
been a thing for many years, and then it sort of, people forget about it. I think people don't bring it up a lot because it implicates two former presidents and a current president.
And I'm sure so many other people that are powerful.
I mean, Alan Dershowitz is implicated.
I mean, that's why this went away. That's why he's, I mean,
a prince,
a serial rapist.
Yeah.
of underage,
underage
women.
Yeah. But is a, yeah, a pedophile.
A serial pedophile.
And for years, tens and tens of young girls on, I believe his island was called Rape Island. I believe his plane was referred to as the Lolita Express.
Ew.
Yeah. Gross guy, bunch of gross old men with billions of dollars. And yeah, so it just sort of popped up again. It once again implicates Alan Dershowitz and all these people. And I think that like, you know, a QAnon type people or a Pizzagator, like a Mike Cernovich, perhaps, who is actually working with Alan Dershowitz on something else. But they're not going to bring this up because they know that, well, it does implicate Donald Trump.
Right.
It does point to him being a sex criminal. Much like his own words that we've heard recorded in a trailer implicate him as a sex criminal, or at the very least a sex pest. Mm. But yeah, so it's interesting this is coming up again. And
Pay attention to it.
It might even be like, who honestly, like with the Mueller stuff too, who knows what he has discovered just from investigating these other things. Like there's an aspect I think of the Mueller investigation where Trump has been a sex pest with ties to all these sex criminals for decades, and also a criminal in other ways, and now they're investigating this one thing, this Russia collusion, these meetings for the campaign. But through that process you're going to find other stuff.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just interested to find out if they're like, there's, you know, cross referencing, or if they're discovering sort of things that have to do with this as well.
It's all going to be so satisfying when we know all the things.
Or it won't be.
Or it won't be. I prefer to think of what I said
sure.
as the truth.
Yeah.
We're out of time. This has been great, though.
Really, I agree.
Really solid time spent here.
We did it.
Do you have anything that's you've enjoyed?
I've enjoyed life. I've been writing songs.
Yeah.
That's fun. I've been going to Wikipedia and clicking the random button mm-hmm. and then writing songs based off of whatever article pumps up.
That is fun.
It's very fun. The Good Place has been renewed for season 4. That's
exciting.
Nice. Yeah.
Everything's good.
Everything's real good. Yeah.
What about me? Well, the new season of The Great British Baking Show, or Bake Off, depending mm-hmm. on where you live, is out. It's really quite good. I think you guys should watch that. Just been doing my holiday spending.
Oh, yeah.
Getting all that stuff together. Mm-hmm. If you guys, I'm going to do a quick shout out to my friend Katie's website. She's a really good artist, and I just bought my nephew a print from her website. It's called The Little Howl, and it's really sweet artwork that's geared towards kids. So if you have any kids in your life, I think that's a really nice little gift.
The Little Howl?
The Little Howl.
That's
what
a cute name.
Yeah. I tweeted about it too, but you guys should check out her website and get people in your life a really thoughtful, lasting gift.
Yeah,
you know?
That's adorable.
That's a treasure.
I'd actually like to give a shout out to my friend, website, patreon.com/somemorenews. I've got some good products there for the holidays.
We do. You should check that out.
Check that out.
All right. Thank you, guys. We love you.
We love you.
So very much.
A lot.
And we'll talk to you next week.
That's true.